the Bible study in Luke, the 10th chapter.
Luke, the 10th chapter. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the devil, Satan. And I mentioned quite a bit about him over the last couple of weeks already, but I want to say just a little bit more. In warfare, it's very important that we know who our enemy is and what our enemy is like. And I will say this, we better not be ignorant of this conflict that we are engaged in against our enemy. If you recall, in the Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus sent out 70 witnesses to the harvest field to reap souls. He said in verse 3, he said, "Go your way," speaking to the 70. "Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." So the 70 go out. They begin to witness, they begin to share the gospel, they begin to do the work of the Lord, and then when they returned, they were ecstatic. And so they brought back, if you look at verse 17 now, they brought back this report. Man, it was hard to say for me. They brought back that report for Jesus. Anyway, it said in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." Watch the last three words. "Through thy name." Now what they say? They said, "In your name," "in thy name," meaning they were recognizing that the name of Jesus is key to victory. Jesus' name, among many things, stands for authority, and it's kingdom authority, and that authority fits us for the battle. I want you to remember something. There is authority in the name of Jesus. There always has been, and there always will be. And we've been using the phrase here, and it's kingdom authority that assures us of perpetual victory. In other words, victory that goes on and on and on and on. Now, the Bible admits the possibility of spiritual defeat in our warfare, but it never assumes it. The Bible never assumes you're going to be defeated. The Bible takes the opposite position, actually. Paul said things like, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So we can walk in continual victory. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, a verse that we studied not that long ago. So while there is the possibility of spiritual defeat in warfare, it never assumes it. The normal Christian life, what's supposed to be normal for believers, is to be a continuous life of victory. Over and over and over again. Victory, victory, victory. Winner, winner, winner. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God," now watch what he says, "which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Through Christ, I can triumph every time. Now, to get everybody to believe that and accept that and live in that truth, that's a whole other story. I am somewhat amazed at how many, but go back to Ephesians 6, about how many people that I talk to that are believers, and some of them have been believers for years, and they just walk defeated, live defeated Christian lives. I will tell you, that is not God's will. It is not God's will for us. So I want to make about 5 points about our enemy here tonight. The passage that we read in Ephesians chapter 6 is probably the best one that discusses our preparation for battle with our foe. Our internal foe is the devil. Now, I want to make 5 points about him, and I want you to look again at verse 12 with me. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." When you look at the word wrestle and strive and fight, some of the New Testament passages use those words. They come from a Greek word. The English word agony is attached to it. So it's almost like you have to agonize. And so it's a real battle. Satan, first of all, is real. And he's ruthless. And he is relentless. Now, he has several aliases that we find in the Bible. Sometimes he's called the devil. He's called the serpent. He's called Belial. He's called Beelzebub. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called the prince of darkness. Many in our society scoff at the idea of a devil or demons. But that's really no wonder. It's always been Satan's purpose to pull the veil of darkness over his kingdom, and people believe that he's not real, there is no such thing as the devil, or he's this guy that walks around with a pitchfork in his hand with a big long tail out the back, and he makes some kind of a cartoon character out of him. But I'm going to read you just an article here. I think it was in USA Today that I got it up. But anyway, one day, with all the boldness he can have, Satan will remove the veil, and he will seek to be worshipped. Of course, that'll be down in the tribulation time. Now, verse 11 through 20 tells us that he is real and that he is ruthless. Secondly, he is systematic in his warfare. Now, you'll notice it says the wiles of the devil. What are they? Wiles, most of you will know this, are his schemes. They're his tools. They're his tricks. It's his methodology and his methodical plan to destroy you. It is his ruthless and tyrannical plan, the wiles of the devil. He is cleverly, assuredly going about to destroy all that is wholesome and godly and good in your life. He wants to destroy you. By the way, I don't know that I've said this in this series, but I'll say it now. It's on my mind. When you look at the New Testament, now we read from Ephesians. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Who's the we? Believers. It is to the church at Ephesus. So when people say, well, the devil can't bother a believer. Well, he can't possess you to ownership. But the word I like to use is the devil can demonize you. And you can be heavily influenced by the devil. And you can even surrender ground to him. So he has a strategic and systematic plan just for you. You know why? He knows your weaknesses. He'll know where to tempt you. He'll know where your shortcomings are, and that's where he'll go. Thirdly, he is spiritual in essence. Paul says spiritual wickedness. That's the phrase that he uses here. Not everything that is spiritual is holy. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. There is a very real battle, spiritual battle, between spiritual good and spiritual bad. This is kind of a crude illustration. It's like sports. There's this team versus that team. Okay? It's God's team and the devil's team. And in this world right now, the devil is kind of having a heyday. But notice what John said. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So not every spirit is godly. So there's both sides. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Satan gets us to fight one another, but that's not our battle. It's him who we're fighting. Fourthly, Satan has strong attributes. It says principalities and powers. It's not a force that is easily subdued. You should not ever speak casually or lightly about Satan. Martin Luther wrote a hymn, probably all of you know it. The title of it is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Listen to the words. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. Satan does that. That's what he's saying. His craft and power are great. Who is Martin Luther saying when he said his craft and power are great? The devil's. Then he goes on and he says, and he's armed with cruel hate. Well, it can't be God who's armed with cruel hate. It's Satan who's armed with cruel hate. And then the last part of that verse says, on earth is not his equal. You better understand that the devil is strong. And he is strong in attributes. Fifthly, he is sinister in his motives. Verse 12, back in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's see. Jeannie, you got that verse memorized yet? Never mind. You don't have to say it. I mentioned earlier the kids in school have been memorizing this month, Ephesians 6:12. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but he said against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, and we'll talk about the armor next week, even when he appears as an angel of light, Satan is hideous and hateful in his heart. Now let me show you or read to you a few ways of the way Satan works today. I'll give a few examples. First of all, there is a frontal attack by the devil. All right? That attack denies God. It denies the Bible. It denies creation. In a recent letter to the editor of the USA Today, they asked this question. What does morality have to do with sexual behavior? That's kind of a bizarre question to start with, isn't it? How anyone can say that an act between two consenting adults that hurts no one is immoral? I frequently hear people denounce certain sexual behaviors as immoral, but I don't get it. Webster defines moral as relating to principles of right and wrong. Okay, that's what morality is. This is right, that's wrong. How can a consensual sexual act be damaging to a principle of right? Morality has absolutely nothing to do with what, if any, God you believe in, what entity you are, whether you drink or smoke or how old you are, whom you love or what turns you on sexually. Now he says that has nothing to do with morals. You know what he assumes though in that one sentence? He said, what if any God you believe in? He assumes that there is no God as referring to the Almighty One. Now, if there's no God, he's right. If there's no God, there really is no morals. That's why Satan attacks God and his word. We believe in absolutes. We believe our Bible is absolutely right. And anything contrary to that is absolutely wrong. We're not ashamed to say that. We're not a hate group speech when we believe that or when we say that. But this is where we rest our faith in, and this is where for the most of us in here tonight, this is what our life is based upon, right? The Word of God. So Satan attacks God and he attacks his Word. This is moral right and moral wrong. And so to us, the Bible says any sexual act outside the bonds of marriage is simply wrong. It's not hard to figure. I just named 9 or 10 of them a few weeks ago in a Sunday morning message. And from what I hear listening to David Gibbs, that qualifies me as a hate group speaker. But anyway, whatever, it's what it is, what it is. But that's how Satan is working. So that's a frontal attack. He attacks God. He attacks the Bible. But then there's a subtle attack. It's made on these impressionable minds of children and kids. This was a full-page ad. It showed a cartoon of a smiley-faced devil with horns and holding a pitchfork. I mentioned that earlier. And the devil says, let's make a deal. Then they had a series of cartoon panels in the ad, and here's some of the dialogue along with sexually suggestive acts. It was on a skateboard magazine for kids, you know, kids into skateboards and all that. So this is what was on the skateboard magazine. The devil says, hi, kitty. It's me, Devil Man, along with my trusty flame boy, here to make you a little offer. Here's the deal. I want your soul. This is a long ad, but listen. Then one of the demons addresses this smiley-faced devil with these words. But boss, won't they need their souls if they want to go to heaven? That's where I want to go when I die. The devil replies, first of all, flame boy, you're already dead. That's why you're in hell. And second of all, heaven is not all it's cracked up to be. He goes on to say, I should know. I used to live there. The little imp demon says, you used to live in heaven, boss? I didn't know you used to live there. The devil goes on to explain. You see, back when I lived up there, I tried to make heaven a fun place. But that just got me and my kids kicked out. Look how bad we were. And in this cartoon panel, Satan has a bottle of booze, is surrounded by half-naked, seductive-looking women, and he has a skateboard under one arm. Then the devil goes on. After God told me to go to hell, things in heaven were never quite the same. First of all, instead of a bunch of dumb rules, they imposed a really strict dress code. I wager that people must be quite bored up there. But hey, that's what they get for being good. Do you hear the message in this? On a kid's skateboard ad? Without laboring the point, let me tell you how this cartoon story ended. The devil tells the demon servant, Flame Boy, even a dimwit like you can see that hell is by far the blessed place to retire. Just look at all the fun to be had. And remember, in hell there is only one rule. And that is, there are no rules. He concludes this with making a direct appeal. So kids, to ensure your permanent place in hell, send me your soul right now. And just to buy a few of these things with my picture on them, and then there's an advertisement that says, and if you act now and send in the following coupon, releasing your soul to me for eternity, I will send you this free t-shirt. Now, kid could walk somewhere, see that ad on a skateboard magazine, probably a boy 12, 13, 14 years old. I don't know how old they are when they ride skateboards. Skateboards weren't big when I was a kid. But they'd pick that up and they'd read that. Ah, it's just a cartoon. That's more than a cartoon. That is very, in fact, it's pretty poignant, to be honest. Now, that's how Satan works. He has good tricks. He has good schemes. So, some may think that's cute and funny, but it kind of upsets me a little bit. Satan is made to look friendly, humorous, cool, and God is made to look boring and unattractive. And most parents, if they saw a skateboard magazine and their kid picked it up, they probably wouldn't even think twice to look at it. All this amid an immature and still pliable mind of kids with skateboards. Now let me add this. Satan, having captured the media and the music, has gone after education. America's school children are under greater attack than ever before. I've listened to some of the stories that some of our college kids have. It's just bizarre. Now, I never went to a secular college myself. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to work either in a factory or on a farm. That's all I wanted to do. And work on my race cars. That was my life right there. And by the way, it was working out pretty good for me till I got saved. But anyway, and I got rid of my race car, and then I ended up going to Bible college, and here I am, voila. But I can promise you the peer pressure that the kids get today in school, we wouldn't have faced that at our age. It was like bizarre. Some of these stories are bizarre. 10, 15 years ago, here's another story for you. There was a great concern about the Bedford, New York school where New Age earth worship came into full bloom. I was not aware of this until recently when I read it. Bedford schools conducted Earth Day rituals and turned into religious services. Students were led in a recitation of the Earth Day creed that exalts Gaia, Mother Earth. That's in a public school. This is what we believe. The mother of us all is the Earth. The father is the sun. The grandfather is the creator who made this with his mind and gave life to all things. The brother is the beasts and trees. The sister is that with wings. We are children of the earth and do it no harm in any way, nor do we offend the sun by not greeting it at dawn. We praise our grandfather. Probably those kids aren't even up at dawn, but anyway, we praise our grandfather for his creation. We share the same birth together, beasts, the trees, the birds, and the man. Now, the students were urged to present gifts to Mother Earth, and some students actually built altars for Mother Earth, Gaia, however you say her name, for a worship ceremony. Now, those are attacks of the devil. And he has got a very much of a stronghold on the education system, probably around the world, but definitely we know that in America. Our children are not allowed to worship the true God in public schools, but they can worship dirt. Something's wrong with that picture right there. It's a terrible thing. But I want you to remember this. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So all these attacks of Satan, whether they're frontal attacks, whether they're subtle attacks, some of you, oh, those, that's not a big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. And he's raging war. Now, there's about five things with a couple illustrations about the reality of the devil and how he's working. And you bet, next week I'm going to talk about, I actually spent once time, one message on one piece of the armor and another piece of the armor and another piece of the armor. I'm going to quickly cover all of them next week. But I would strongly urge you to put on the whole armor of God, so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Wow, preacher. Listen, that's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Ah, that's a bunch of nonsense. It's not a bunch of nonsense. There is a spiritual war going on. Good versus evil. We're supposed to be winning. The good side's supposed to win. We can have victory. But I really talk to more and more people all the time who are not walking in victory. And I mean Christians who are not walking in victory. It's sad. Some of it's, quite honestly, some of it's heartbreaking. Just watch what some people are going through right now. Devil's having a heyday. And beloved, it ought not to be so. But we gotta get on the top of this thing. We gotta be in victory. Who always giveth us the victory. We can always win. There's a song, Faith, you can look this one up. I think it's called God Always Wins or Our God Always Wins. Oh, it's a good song. And I got a couple more for you to look up as well. But I just love listening to some good, solid music. Somebody gave me a tape to listen to the other day. It wasn't so good. I wasn't impressed. There was one song on the whole thing I enjoyed. Because it was worship. The other ones weren't worship. It was all about me. So I could have cared less about those kind of songs. But, I mean, we are supposed to win. Our God always wins. Let's pray. Father, help us to realize tonight that the devil is real. That he has his wiles. He attacks sometimes right in our face, blatant and openly. But other times those attacks are kind of subtle. And people fall for them, but young people fall for them, and they get these subtle messages. They have all kinds of innuendos in them and all those things, and the next thing you know is people begin to walk away from the truth. And then instead of experiencing victory and living in victory on a consistent basis, they're defeated. They're down. They're discouraged. Some even get depressed. But that is not your will for your children. And so I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that people would realize that they can have the victory. It's already been won. We just have to embrace it and live in it. In Jesus' name, amen.